the Golf Podcast, presented by Golficity, where we bring you the tips, instruction, and support you need to get the most out of your golf game. And now your hosts, Frank and Mike.
Hey guys, welcome to episode 225 of the Golf Podcast. Today we're talking about mastering those half wedge finesse shots. You know those shots, Mike. They can either be a tragedy or they can just be a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Had a bunch of good ones today. I'm happy to talk about them soon.
Perfect timing. You know, and listen, if you haven't done so yet, make sure you download the free Golficity app. You can do that on iOS or Android. That way you can get all the episodes of the Golf Podcast on there 100% free. And you can go all the way back to episode one if you like. Plus, we've got the notifications working on there. So when a new episode comes out, you'll be the first to be notified about that. So definitely check that out. The other big thing that we've got going on, we're gonna have the Golficity Virtual Open. We're gonna be rolling that out really soon. We will announce all the details of that here as well as in the Facebook group the second that we have that ironed out. Really a lot of fun last year. This year we're gonna adapt it a little bit. What we're going to do is we're going to do a bunch of door prizes. I think we had about 300 participants last year, anywhere between 300 and 400. I think we got like a personal goal of beating that. I'd love to get 500 guys and gals in this thing this year. But it's always a lot of fun. It's super easy to do. It's free to participate. You use the 18 Birdies app, and that allows us to run this and administer this virtual open. And by virtual, it means you can basically play anywhere. You can log your round on your home course. And last year we had a lot of fun with it, a lot of fun for bragging rights. We talked about it here. We even recorded our round that you and I played.
That
on the YouTube channel. So I'm sure we're going to do a similar thing, but stay tuned for it because we've got some great prizes that are going to be involved in that. And we're going to, like I said, door prizes. So all you got to do to be involved is just join, log your round, play, and then you'll be able to be eligible for those prizes. So it should be a lot of fun. I'm having fun. Last year we did it, and now making it an annual thing, I think is great. So, Mike, before we talk about today's topic, the wedge, you know, the finesse shot, the half shot, you mentioned, you know, you hit a bunch of them today. We like to do our little bit of our, what we're calling our state of the game lately. Talked a little bit about mine in the last episode. Let's talk about yours. Where's your game at right now? What's working? What's not?
Okay. So played around, and it was one of those rounds recently that I felt like I played amazing. Like it was to the point where at the end of the round, my playing partners were like, "Wow, you played great today. It was a real treat watching you play today." But the score didn't add up. It was actually not a great score. So here's the thing. I don't get it. And this has probably happened to you. It's probably happened to a lot of our listeners is you went out there, you just felt like you had an awesome day in the course, but then you look at the scorecard after 18, you're like, "Wait, what?" Like what happened? So, you know, basically where I'm at with things is Frank, as you saw at Pound Ridge, when I'm connecting, the driver is just working. It's working so nice. It's really timing is there. I feel like I have such an advantage over playing partners when I'm playing for something at stake. You know, just like the way that Dustin has that little advantage over Dustin and Justin Thomas, that they're much longer than other guys. They'll have a much shorter shot in. And, you know, when you're hitting the ball 290, 300, 305, 302, whatever, on a regular course where it's 350, 360, I have these like half wedge shots in.
Yeah.
All day long.
Yeah.
And you saw me at Pound Ridge around the greens. My feel is like right now top notch. So state of my game around the greens. I feel like I'm feeling really good. I put a bunch of balls close to the hole, right off the green today for one putts. I had six total pars. I actually recorded my stats on 18 birdies today. Six pars, one birdie, which was a par five, and the approach shot is really supposed to be a layup because there's water all around the green. I said, the heck with it on hole one. I went for it with a two hybrid, 245, landed it right in the middle of the green, two putted for birdie. It was an amazing way to start the round. It really was. It was just such a momentum builder, and everything was clicking. But I got to two par threes, Frank, and I sixed them both. you know, one went in the water off the tee, and they were both 8 irons off the tee. So I feel like I'm slowly starting to understand where my game needs work. I mean, I just said driver's working, around the green is working. That mid game is still giving me problems. So I left a lot of strokes out there. Could have been my best round probably ever, but I still shot a 90 today or 91 or so, and it should have been an 84, 85. It really should have. Like, everything was working. It felt really good. I shouldn't say everything. Obviously, some things weren't, but you know, I just had that feeling, and I just think the best way to do it is just hone in on those mid-level, you know, irons.
So you're saying it's predominantly because you're out of practice with the mid irons because you're just not getting as many opportunities to hit them.
Yeah, that's really it. That's really it. I'm not having the opportunity to hit them because of the being long and going driver wedge, driver wedge, driver wedge. It's great. It's a great problem to have. Everyone wants to be driver wedge, and it's great, but when you get on driver a par wedge five,
on the par fours, and then on the par five, you're hitting fives, driver hybrid,
and on the par threes, it's no driver. So now you got to rely on that 7, 8, 9 iron. So, yeah. You know, there's at least 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, maybe 6 or 7 holes on a golf course that don't require driver, mm-hmm. or require something else than a wedge, on, like you said, on the par five. So, you know, I think that's where I'm lacking there. So I think I just need to – I think that might be the answer. I think I might answer my own question. Get out there and practice that mid-game.
Well,
and just
that's
focus
it.
On
it. I mean, as with anything, if it's going to fall out of practice, you're not going to be able to play it as well. But I think another strong point to be made would be you just like focus on is there an aspect of it where you're changing – like are you changing your swing much for those mid irons? Because my thinking would be if you can hit a wedge – there's not too great of a difference to like an 8 iron. You know what I mean? Like it shouldn't be that different of a swing. If you can hit a wedge, you should be able to hit an 8 iron. Now I could see being different. Yeah. A longer iron, like a 4 iron or a 5 iron. That's a little bit of a different play. But to me, but like 8 iron down, it's a fairly similar swing.
Well, picture your swing for a fully attacked 8 iron and 100 yards with a 52 degree wedge. The swing is going to be completely different, I think.
Well, I think maybe the giveaway there was the fully attacked. You might be over swinging it. Think about it. Because, I mean, you blast your 8 iron like 165 or something like that.
Yeah, you know what? I think we might have just solved it right
there.
So
now what if you went out
there?
Where
do I send the check, Frank?
Now, what if you went out there with the mindset or swing thought instead of being like hitting that 8 iron 150? Because it sounds like to me like you're swinging that wedge nice and controlled and easy, but then you're going on based on your max distance number. We've talked about this before, saying like don't always based on your max distance. Like people say like, well, I can hit my 7 iron. Like if I hit it pure and I hit it full speed, I can hit my 7 iron 165. So people start thinking that's my 165 club.
Right.
You know, oftentimes we are less apt to say, you know, maybe even if you club up one and swing it a little bit easier, but I would be interested to see that as a play. Like if you went out there, I know it would feel weird to you, like a 150 shot, you'd normally hit like what, a 9 iron.
Mm-hmm.
What if you hit an 8 there and just hit it with that nice, smooth, easy swing?
I'm just,
the wedge.
I love the idea. I get so nervous that when I swing lighter, I go further and I connect better, and that will be a true 168.
Wow, that would be a good problem to have.
Yeah, but it's still a problem. You know, it's still a problem. So, I mean, you know, if I stick to the 9 in that case, maybe I stick with the 9 and just then swing with the idea of that I want it to go 1. You know what I mean? Just,
yeah.
You know, not club up and swing lighter, but use the same club, but swing, you know, lighter. Well,
that's what I mean.
Like
use the same swing, the same club, but just swing it a little bit easier. Like do you remember what your miss was when you missed with that 8 iron and stuff like that?
I chunked 1 into the water.
Okay.
And then the other one was a solid strike. It just inside out a little bit, and it just kind of tailed right into a greenside bunker, which I'm normally good getting out of, but it took me 2 to get out of this one, and then the second one went a little over the green. So I was kind of back and forth for that 6.
Well, think about it. Like even like especially with a chunk shot, usually when that's going to happen, we talk about balance being so important. If you get out of balance, and the chance of getting out of balance dramatically go up the harder you swing. It's so much easier to stay in balance when you don't swing as hard. I don't know. I without.
Yeah.
you know, I would just say give it a shot, give it a try, because to me, it seems like it shouldn't vary too much. I mean, of course, there's the practice factor. If you're not used to hitting an 8-iron because you get don't get a lot of opportunities to hit an 8-iron, then by all means, it's going to be a little bit less of a confident club for you. But swing and setup wise, if we're talking about full swing, not like we're going to talk about in a minute, like those half wedge shots. If you're talking about a full swing, to me, a full swing wedge and a full swing 8-iron shouldn't be too dramatically different of a swing or a setup. There's going to be a difference between a 3-iron and a pitch and a wedge, but an 8 and a wedge, it's not hugely different to me.
I can't wait. Yeah, it makes good, you know, good point there. And I can't wait to get like 5 rounds under my belt when once I screw these Arco sensors into the new clubs and show you. You're going to be shocked to see how many times the 7, the 8, and the 9, I'm sorry, the 6, 7, and 8 come out of my bag.
Really?
It'll blow your mind. I probably took it out of my 7 iron once today.
That's crazy because I feel like I live on those clubs.
Isn't it nuts? I mean, I don't know if that's the wrong way to play this game. I don't know. It's just, should I be using?
No, it's a great problem to have, to be so long off the tee that you're not even getting the opportunity to hit those, you know, 7, 8, 9, and you're always hitting some sort of wedge or gap wedge, pitching wedge, something like that. That's a great problem to have.
Yeah.
But I'd say you're going to be faced with, no matter what, you're going to be faced with those par threes, and if you're not used to hitting them, you're going to be in between, because every course you play, you're going to have one or two 150 to 170 yard par threes that you're going to have to do something with.
Yeah. So, you know, I got to just think to myself, make the decision. Do when I go to my practice sessions at a range or whatever, do I work on the clubs that I normally hit, drivers and wedges, and continue to strengthen that part of my game, or focus on the ones that I may have to use 5 or 6 times, but those are the ones that are going to lead to my triple bogeys?
Yeah, that's the thing. We talked about in the previous episode, we talked about eliminating the big mistakes, right?
Yeah,
that's what your big mistake is. And that's what's causing that scorecard go from, like you said, like the 84 that it should be to the 91 because of 2 blow-up holes. Then I think that's a good thing to go after. But I think the simplest change might be when you get to that next 165 yard par three would be just to go up there and just swing it like nice, like that 8-iron a little bit nice and comfortable, rather than trying to like max it or whatever wording you used before. And then just see what's the worst case. You come up a little bit short, as long as it's not all hazard, all water to the green, like we played at Pound Ridge. As long as it's not that, you know, what's the worst case? You come up short and you've got to chip it onto the green. But I think you'd end up surprising yourself that you won't lose too much distance. You'll gain a little bit more control.
Yeah, no, I like it. I'm definitely going to work on that.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so I want to talk about these mastering the half wedge shot, because we do all end up faced with this shot often, and it can be challenging anytime we do less than a full swing. So there's certain things that we can think about and things that we can do to make a little bit of a change that can really help with this. Before we dive into it, this episode of the Golf Podcast is sponsored by Titleist, the number one ball in golf. And have you ever wanted to see how a Titleist golf ball is made? Now, for the first time, you can visit the renowned Titleist Ball Plant 3 in New Bedford, Massachusetts, home of the Pro V1 and Pro VX. We were curious, right, Mike? So
yep.
We drove up there. We filmed the whole experience. You can see it on our YouTube channel, but I can't stress this enough. You got to see it for yourself.
Yeah, probably the coolest factory tour that you'll ever go on. I mean, the Titleist Golf Ball Experience offers a unique behind-the-scenes look at the people, the process, and the innovative technologies that continue to make Titleist the number one choice at the highest levels of golf, and even at our home course here for us amateurs. I mean, the tour is free. It's available to every Team Titleist member, which you can become for free just at their website, Titleist.com. And after seeing their commitment to excellence in person, you'll agree that there's a difference between a golf ball and then the number one ball in golf. And you'll see that firsthand for sure. So make your reservation for the Titleist Golf Ball Experience. Visit Titleist.com today.
All right, and guys, this episode is also sponsored by Peter Millar. Peter Millar offers comfort, fit, quality, and style in menswear. And let me tell you about it. I mentioned this on a previous episode, loving their stuff. I ended up wearing the Salem Hydrate Performance Short. I just wore it for one entire weekend because I didn't want to change out of it. And that's what's so cool. I love when you see like golf, so to speak, golf attire that is really versatile. I ended up wearing it to a pool party, out to dinner, wore the same shorts on for my morning round. on the course and then just ended up leaving them on as I moved through my day running errands, because they look great. They're super comfortable. And you guys can check out all of our favorites by going to petermillar.com/golf. And that's one of the ones listed right there on it. So you can find that, Mike.
Yeah. And talk about comfort. I mean, it's probably the most comfortable piece of clothing I've ever worn. I mean, I talked about it as well, how people were feeling my material in the office, yeah. Because it was, you know, these active wear shirts, you know, these button downs, I mean, amazing material. You can wear them right out of the dryer, which I love. No iron needed, which I also love. Peter Millar is perfect for any occasion, which is cool. They kind of have everything covered for you, whether it's vacation, whether it's a date night, work events, evening workout, even, believe it or not. They have, they're great for the golf course. Of course, they have awesome polo shirts and pants and things like that. They have sun protection built in and so on and so forth. So, you know, like Frank said, head over to petermillar.com/golf. Check out some of my favorite Peter Millar favorites. Be sure to use our link. You'll receive complimentary shipping if you do, and a free hat, which is pretty cool. That's petermillar.com, M-I-L-L-A-R.com. That's petermillar.com/golf.
All right, guys. So we're going to talk about mastering that half wedge finesse shot. And one thing that I want to disclaim going into this is that one key that we often overlook to really great course management, again, a topic that we've covered in previous episodes, is this idea of leaving yourself as many full yardages as possible. And when you do that, you're able to make that full swing. There's a lot more consistency because the reality is playing half shots is really tough. It requires a lot of practice, a lot of feel, and those things can go away if you don't have as much time spent on the course. I know, Mike, I kind of lament about this often, you know, with between running a business and having two young kids, I don't get out there as much as I like. I feel right. Like feel is one of the first things that go. And I think when you say feel, one thing that comes to mind are these half wedge shots. So one thing that I've been trying to do is eliminate them from my game as much as possible. And the way I've been doing that is kind of working my way through the hole backwards. I think the way that a lot of amateur golfers, when they first start with this game, and something that I did for many, many, many years, the way you kind of attack it is as you move through a hole, you always kind of hit whatever club is going to get you close, you know, further, advance you further towards the green. You know, almost without thinking of it. So for example, let's say you're playing a long par four, or a better example would be a par five, right? So now let's say I got this long par five ahead of me. I hit driver and I'm still unreachable in two. So I've got myself still another 250, 275, 300 yards to the green. A lot of times what people will do is just pull out whatever the longest club they have and just try to, again, advance it as far as they can.
Yep.
The problem with that thinking is this. Let's say we'll go with that 250 number, 250 inch for round numbers. Let's say I hit my 3 wood, and when I hit it nice and clean and flush, I hit it about 220. Right. So I think, well, okay, I can't get there, but let me hit my 3 wood just to get it as far as I can towards the green. I think that's the default thinking that a lot of people have. Now, if I execute and I do that and I'm able to hit it that far, what does that leave me? 30 yards, right? So because I can't get to the 250, right? I hit it 220, I'm 30 yards out. If I do that, now I've got this tricky, again, 30-yard half wedge finesse shot that I've got to hit. Now, some people may say, I feel more comfortable no matter what, just being a little bit closer. Other people might feel a little bit different. So let's say my case, I may say, all right, let me back it down and hit I said it was 250 out. So let me hit my club that'll leave me 100 out. Right? So let me hit a 150 club here. Now it may seem weird where I would normally be hitting a 3 wood. I may pull out a 7 iron, right? Or something like that. Because I know that for my own game and my yardages, my full swing 52 degree wedge is a 100-yard shot. And I'm very comfortable hitting that shot. I'm very used to hitting that shot. I can, you know, work the ball pretty much however I need to work it from that 100-yard shot. So now instead of leaving myself 30 yards in, I leave myself 100 yards in, and I know that I can take a full swing and not have to worry about finessing it in any way. And obviously that becomes more dramatic when you're more in between, let's say leaving myself a 50-yard shot. A 50-yard shot is a very difficult shot for me. I don't know about you.
Yeah,
you
know, I agree.
It's like this kind of like half swing 52-degree wedge, and it's got to, you know, I feel like there's a lot of variation there. Whereas I leave it 100 yards, I just hit that 52 and just let it fly. So right. It's just something to think about before we dive into this. I think no matter what, you're always going to have instances where you're going to be left with these half wedge shots, which is why I think it's a good idea to learn it, practice it, and have it ready in your game. But if you start to think of it in reverse that way and try to eliminate those shots, you'd be surprised how much easier the game becomes.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And I like that philosophy to play it in reverse a little bit. That's interesting. But, you know, what's interesting to me is that, you know, a lot of things can go wrong with these shots. And the proof was with me today when I actually had an early morning meeting. It was like 7 a.m. and it was right next to the course I was playing. I had a 10:10 tee time. The meeting only went about an hour and a half. And I was like, all right, do I go to work or do I go to the course early and put in work? You know what I mean? So I got there nice and early. I got two buckets of balls and I dedicated one 40 ball bucket to the 30 yard. I was on a grass range, which was so beautiful today, 30 yards to a green right in front of me. Mm-hmm. And I said, I'm just going to put this whole bucket to work on this shot because, you know, this is where I'm finding myself a lot on par fours, just like I talked about. So I kid you not, of the 40 bucket, I chunked maybe 10 of them. I sculled probably 10 of them. I put maybe five right next to the pin, like yeah. really nice shots. And then I maybe put another like 10 or 15 like over it. So, you know, I anything can go wrong with these shots. There's so much stuff going through your head because it's a half swing and that might lead to a half follow through or it might lead to deceleration. It might lead to coming down steep, chunking it, sculling it. And there's a million different things, right? So,
yeah.
You know, I think it's such an awesome area of the game. I'm actually really glad we're talking about it, right? If you nail it, if you could do this and you're a long hitter and you like to continue advancing the ball as long as you can, because some people won't play the hole backwards. They're going to continue to do that. They just will. These shots are definitely for you.
And it's true, exactly what you said. The half wedge shot is definitely one of the trickiest shots in golf. And a lot of amateurs have a lot of trouble with this because it's hard. It's hard. We don't play it super often. We've got to practice it. And like you said, like there's keys that come into play here, like deceleration. So with a half wedge, you know, we're having to do a lot of adjustments to our swing to make it go a certain distance. I think even newer golfers, new people are new to the game, know and understand all their full swing shots with the different clubs. They know generally how far it's going to go. Like we talked about before, like my 52 degree wedge is my 100 yards in the air, you know, club. But when you start to get into these half wedges, you start to second guess and you're doing some sort of calculation in your head. And when you second guess, it leads to things like deceleration. So Mike, you had said there, you were like a third of the time chunking it, a third of the time, I think you said pushing it or whatever. What do you think your numbers would have been if that flag was, I don't know, like what's your full swing, one of your full swing wedges, like 115?
Yeah.
All right. So let's say it was a 115 shot. What do you think your results would have been there if you were just playing that?
You know, probably better, you know, because it's a full swing. You know, it's that I call it that range shot, the shot that you sit on the range to impress the people to the left and right of you with.
right.
That's the one. And yeah, all day long. I mean, I think I'd rather that.
Exactly the reason why you do that course management and try not to leave yourself that shot. And if it's only, we're only talking about a difference of maybe 50 yards. If you do reverse engineer the hole and you hit that second shot, that approach shot with something that's going to leave you, even if it's kind of hard to break out of that mindset where you feel like you're actually going to end up leaving yourself more yardage to the hole. Mm-hmm. I think this, but what you have to start thinking about is I'm leaving myself a yardage that I'm more comfortable with rather than leaving more yardage. I think that the mindset of a lot of amateur golfers is just keep powering that ball as far as you can towards the hole each time. But I think the smarter play is knowing like, where do you want to land it? And pros do this too. You know, they'll come in and say, where do I want to come in from? What distance, what angle? And they'll play their shots like that rather than just thinking, all right, what's the biggest club I have in my bag that I can hit here and move it the furthest I can move it? That's not always the wisest play. So that being said, and putting that on the table, there are going to, as I said, be those times you're going to have to hit the half wedge shot. So let's talk about it. The reason why we're talking about half wedges is obviously out of the clubs in your bag, the clubs you're going to have most likely going to have to swing half swings is going to be wedges. There's not going to be a whole lot of situations where you're going to have to swing a half five iron, right? So that's why we're specifically focusing on wedges. But let's talk about some of the basics, some of the things that you can do to make this a little bit more successful. The first thing, and it's a common tip that a lot of golfers actually take too far, is to choke down but choke down just slightly. A lot of times what you'll see is people who choke, you know, almost all the way down to the handle for these shots. But by choking down just an inch or two, and you can feel free to experiment with this different positions, you're going to be able to have that control you're looking for. But without going so far as that the club's going to feel a little bit too light. If you choke down too far, you may have trouble controlling that club head. And I talked about this on the last episode when I was actually going through my fitting, some of the different shafts we used that were a little bit too light. We ended up adding weight to the shaft of my clubs. Because as it became too light, yes, I got swing speed out of it. I could swing it faster, but I was losing control by not feeling that club head. You lose feel with some of that lightness. So same thing happens when you choke down too much. The club effectively becomes a little bit too light and you don't get that feel. And here, if anything, you're going to want feel. So try choking down a little bit. I think that will give you a little bit more control, but don't go crazy with it. You know, for these shots, I don't think you need to have your hands all the way down on the metal for a shot like this. Just try experimenting with an inch or two and see what you feel comfortable with. All right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The next thing would be narrow your stance a little bit. When you make that half wedge shot, it's going to be, you know, a little bit less obviously impactful from a rotation standpoint. I think when we widen our stance, like you do with a driver, obviously the more power, the more rotation, the more of that stable base you need. But because we're not generating a ton of swing speed here, we don't necessarily need that. So when you bring your feet in closer together, it becomes easier to produce that rhythmic flowing, you know, swing back and through. And that's what we're looking for more here. We're not looking to generate club head speed, because if we needed speed for distance, we would be swinging full swing. So mm-hmm. because we don't need that, it's better to start to focus on that, you know, that feel, that being able to do that rhythmic flow. And I think it's a lot easier to do that by just narrowing that stance a little bit. And again, balance is easy when you're swinging slower. We talk about balance. Balance is difficult. Yep. As you start to swing faster and faster, the balance, and we talk about sometimes you swing too fast and you get out of balance. Well, because balance is much easier at a slower swing speed like this, you're able to narrow that base and not worry about coming off balance.
Isn't it amazing how I could swing a driver like 117, 118 miles an hour and connect and crush it dead center, but I could swing an 8-iron like 100 and I screw it up. I know bigger head, you know, whatever, but you know, it's crazy. It's just nuts. But balance is so key, and we continue to overlook it.
I still will hold true to my theory, my hypothesis that you're overswinging those clubs, because even that 100 mile per hour 8-iron is still fast, dude.
Yeah, I know. I got to slow that down.
You got to look at what most guys are swinging like an 8-iron. Because I've seen you swinging a 7 and 8-iron that fast in simulators. Even with some of these fittings we've been through, be like, okay, 100 mile an hour swing speed for a 7-iron is pretty darn quick. That's what they'll say. I think most people are swinging that like 80, 85.
Yes.
Slow it up, and I think you'll see more control.
Yeah. Okay.
And then another point here would be standing a little bit open to the target line. Now you may not think to include this adjustment at first, but it's actually a great way to position yourself for a little more success. When you're open to that line, you'll be inclined to make more of an outside, you know, in swing. And that obviously is not a good thing when you're hitting a full length shot, but it's just fine with a half wedge. You should have an easier time making a clean contact that way. And you may even get a little bit of an extra backswing spin. Which a lot of people like, you know, obviously when you're trying to hold a green, but experiment with it, see if it makes it feel a little bit more comfortable, and try it. If it's something that doesn't make you feel more comfortable and you'd like to stay square, but you can experiment here again, because it is a different type of swing. We're not talking about a full swing here. You can open it up a little bit. Opening it up also will help with, you know, getting that ball a little bit more in the air and increasing some loft. So try it, try those different things, see how that works. Another important thing here, manipulating that ball position. And one of the first things that most people do when they're playing a half wedge shot is move the ball back in their stance. You know, they think of that as adjustment is necessary because they're using less than full power, but that's not necessarily the case. You know, while, you know, it might work out to hit half wedge shots that are back in the stance from time to time, you don't want it to be your default adjustment. And we talked about this in the last episode, that a lot of times you get into this very narrow vision, this blinders on, where you think like this shot has to be played in this spot, you know, the ball position in this spot of my, you know, my stance. But there are ways you can kind of like sometimes mix that up. And it really comes down to, in this case, the type of shot you want to hit. Because don't forget, not all two half wedge shots are going to be the same. You may want to bring the ball in low, let it bounce a couple times before the green. You could be playing some really quick greens. A lot of times I've been playing this lately. We haven't had as much rain. You know, we got rain for months and months and months, and then everything dried out. We haven't had much. So the last round I was out there, we were actually trying to land everything before the green and let it roll up. So in that case, you might want to do that. Or other times the green is nice and soft and you feel like you can hold it, you may want to hit that higher shot and then just, you know, bring it in at a steeper angle and be able to land a little bit soft. And that's where you want to move that ball, you know, back. But if you need that low shot, you know, don't be afraid to bring the ball up in your stance a little bit more. And experiment with it. Because again, it's not going to be like a one size fits all for these half wedge shots, just like with any shot, really.
Right. Sure.
All right. And then the other thing here is, you don't want to pick a landing spot and get a number. It's hard to hit the ball the right distance. If you don't actually know how far you're trying to hit the ball, it may sound obvious, but this is obviously going to be even more amplified when you're doing something like a half wedge shot, because now you're doing those, as I said, those calculations in your mind of like, I know my 52 degree wedge is a 100-yard shot, but now when I'm less than that, it's really going to depend on how I swing it. So here you want to get as specific as you can with your yardage. And I think a good point that comes in here is something that you hear like Jordan Spieth say, like aim small, miss small. I think sometimes people just kind of like phone it in on these. They're like, that's approximately a 60-yard shot. And I think this is where the shots that too, we often don't get our distance. Mm-hmm. You know, because we're like, it's about this far, especially when you start getting under that 50 yards and under. We're like, it looks like it's about 40 yards. Just take the time, do the due diligence, get the number, and it will give you a little bit more confidence. Plus, if you pick a specific spot, I think some people like will often just like pick the green as their target. I like picking a more narrow spot, like something on the green, because you feel like if you've got that narrow target, again, if you aim really small, and you miss small, because if you miss by a little bit, the more specific you are, the less off your miss should be. So
yeah,
I think that's an important thing. And this is something that I've been guilty of, done a lot of times, where I just get up, especially that, like, I think around that 40 yards, I just kind of give a general number. Like, it's about 40 yards. Like if there's a GPS in the cart, I'll like kind of peek at it. Mm-hmm. Or whatever, where, you know, sometimes when you see your better players, they're out there and they're really dialing in a number, like this is 41 yards, you know, or whatever it may be. I think if you get more specific with it, you'll have more success and you'll learn more from each shot and you'll start to feel more. You'll be like, oh, that was 41 and I hit it this way, I hit it this height, I hit it with this, you know, this much swing speed. And then you'll know and you'll become more adept to it the next time you face a similar distance. I think that's an important one. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it does make sense. And you know what? The more you're talking about this, the more I'm getting excited to start gaming those Vokey wedges.
Yeah, tell me about it.
You know, especially for these shots, because, you know, I'm starting to get really good at backspin and you know, pulling it back a little bit and getting that proximity to the hole a little bit better. I'm trying to focus on that number a lot.
Yeah.
But these tips are great. These tips are really great. I mean, this is definitely something I'm going to continue to work on for sure.
Yeah, and it's compiling. One thing leads to another. As you get better at this, as you said, the proximity of the hole gets closer. And as that gets closer, your make percentage goes way up. I was watching a Golf Channel had something on. It was like a playing lessons with Sean Foley. And he made a really good point. He's like, guys, it looks like the people on the PGA Tour make everything, because obviously that's the more dramatic thing. The cameras are going to be focused on the guys who are making everything that day. They're going to be dialed in. He said, but the reality is, even for a PGA Tour pro, the make percentage at 8 feet is 50%. 50% at 8 feet. So, yeah. And that's where he talks about like that's at 8 feet, just getting it close or whatever. But extrapolate that out, that make percentage drops way off the further you get. So as you just focus on one area of your game like this, and as you start to tighten it up, your proximity to the hole, you'd be surprised at how much your scores drop, because now you're in a much higher make percentage of your putts. So it's just like a domino effect. Like as these areas, and likewise, sometimes a lot of golfers will wonder why they're struggling. Or you started this episode off by saying like, why didn't I score better? I felt like I was playing better. Well, something simple like this could be a culprit to look for. If you're someone who really struggles with your half, you know, wedge shot, you may be checking a lot of boxes as far as greens and regulation in your round, but then you're wondering like, I'm 2 and 3 putting because your proximity to the hole is way off.
Yeah.
You know, and you can't kick yourself for missing 15 and 20 footers. They're, you know, those are 20 and 30% make percentages at best. So as you get better at this, all of a sudden everything gets a little bit better.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah. So, all right. So that's everything we have for you guys. You can get to the show notes by going to golfficity.com/episode225, or you can of course see them as always in the app, which we have available for free for download for Android and iOS. As soon as we've got more details on the Golficity Virtual Open and how to get registered for that, we'll get it out to you guys. It will be 100% free. It will be incredibly easy to do. And you'll be able to have an entire month to log your round. So basically, you can participate just by playing the golf you normally would. So you put your round in, and we'll play for some bragging rights, so to speak. We'll get some handicaps involved, because that way that everyone can play, and we can kind of level the playing field a little bit with handicaps, and we'll get some great door prizes together for you guys for participating. So we'll have all of that. We'll put that out in the Facebook group, and we'll get it out on all the social media channels as well as discuss it here, so you guys don't miss any of that. We'll have that out really soon. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you all again next week.